Now, a story we've been promising you all morning. From 1918 to 1920, a very forward-thinking librarian purchased 236 soldiers' diaries on behalf of the State Library of New South Wales. The library has been adding to its European war collection ever since, and it now holds over 1,200 handwritten accounts by soldiers of all ranks, as well as those of doctors, nurses, stretcher bearers, journalists and POWs. William Ifold was then the library's principal librarian, and this unique archive is his legacy, and it has just been included in the UNESCO Australian Memory of the World register. To tell us more, we're joined now by Alex Byrne, New South Wales State Librarian and Chief Executive. Thank you so much for coming in.
Morning, Ellen.
Take us to those immediate post-war years and Skype to us about William Ifold and his foresight.
William Ifold was an amazing man. He was principal librarian for 30 years from 1912 through to 1942, and he really built the Public Library of New South Wales, as it was then called, up into the great state library that it is now. Fantastic collecting across many fronts, but these are particularly valuable because they're the stories of individual people. As you said, you know, up to a general, but ordinary people.
So how did he get ordinary people's diaries and letters?
Straight after the war, as the war came to a close, he advertised in return services, magazines, newspapers and so on, using the rather charming line, "Good prices paid for good material." And if they didn't think it was good enough, they sent it back, which I find extraordinary.
Well, they sent the letters and diaries back. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Just not up to par.
Your brother's or uncle's writing is not at a standard befitting this library.
Good Lord.
Yes. After all the killing and so on of that war, that to me is really extraordinary. When they said up to standard, what they meant was reasonably descriptive. They weren't looking for high literature, although some of them are very well written, but also contemporaneous or nearly contemporaneous, so not influenced by newspapers or too much chatter with others, really the authenticity of experience. And that really comes through in them when they talk about the horrors of war, the bombardments, but also the extraordinary experiences, first seeing the pyramids, talking about French girls, about the countryside, about the love of wine, and so on.
And so let's go. What does the UNESCO listing mean?
It means that this collection, along with two other collections in the State Library, are recognised as of World Heritage standards. So they're equivalent to the Blue Mountains World Heritage Natural Area or the Opera House as built heritage.
Mm. And so what does this piece of heritage contribute to our understanding of the First World War?
It tells us about ordinary people, and it complements the histories of the war, starting, of course, with Bean's great opus, and then, of course, all the many, many books that have been written since, including the flood of books we're getting today.
And give us some examples. I mean, it comes down to individual stories. What are some of the individual stories that stay in your mind?
One of our great fans, favourites is Archie Barwick. He was a farmer from Tasmania. He was 5'4", very strong, a bit anxious about whether he'd get in because he was only 5'4", which today is 1.6 metres high.
I think Kylie Minogue is 5'4". How's that for a trivia?
Well, maybe she could have gone. In fact, they lowered the level as the war went on and they needed more recruits.
So what was Archie looking out for?
He had an eye for everything. So as he travelled across France on troop trains and in between battles, he remarked on the countryside and the crops.
The crops?
Yeah, because he was a farmer.
Right.
So that's what he saw. He talked about the bombardments. He talked about the others who were there and how they felt. He expressed fear, expressed joy. When they went to the pyramids, which of course they knew about from school and from Bible class, he remarks on the pyramids and the sight there, but also the beggars and the touts, just like every Australian tourist ever since.
We'll come to the horror in a moment, but the promise, I suppose, of enlisting was not only to fight for king and country, but to see the world. What are some of the reflections of Paris of travelling around in that way, not seeing great sights, but living the life?
They were bowled over by it, and you can hear the swagger coming through that was in great cities like Paris and London, but also as they came into Marseille, and they remark on what a great port it is, but not a patch on Sydney or Hobart.
And how much were the men and women of those times willing to put in letters, and if not letters, into their own diaries about the horror of the Western Front and the horror of those campaigns, Gallipoli and all the rest?
They were writing for an audience. They knew that this would be going back to their families, and usually the name of the next of kin, often the mother, was in the front. So there was some control in what they said, but they didn't let up. And I have a bit here I can read to you about Schelling, if that's good. This was 24th of July in 1916 at Pozières. Things were fairly quiet last night, but at 6 o'clock exactly this morning, the expected storm broke. Not as we expect with whiz-bangs and 6-inch, but 9.2 and 12-inch. The first hour or two was mostly spent in getting the range. They would frighten the bravest man on earth, I bet, these enormous great shells. They sound like an express train rushing through the air, and when they explode, it is more like a ton of dynamite exploding. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the bombardment reached the climax. The air sounded with one continuous whistle and roar from the big shells that were streaming through it. Yes, in thousands. Men were being buried by the dozen, but were frantically dug out again, some dead and some alive. And it goes on for about two pages like that. So it's very graphic. It really takes you right into the moment. Mm. And that's why it's so important, because it is that authentic voice of ordinary Australians, and they were ordinary. You know, we speak much of their heroism, particularly when we talk around Gallipoli, and they were heroic, but they were like you and me. They were ordinary Australians who felt that they needed to do their bit.
These diaries and letters and so forth are often in handwriting, they're often in pencil. You've had people transcribing them. We've only got about 10 seconds left. You want others to help transcribe?
That's right. We have a wonderful group of volunteers who've transcribed 700 of the 1,200, but it's a big job. So we've just launched a new online tool, which people can find on our website.
Which is?
www.sl.nsw.gov.au, and go in and look at our World War One site, and you'll find the tool, an image of the pages of the diary, and you can transcribe them. We'd love you to do it.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll put that website, the details for that website, on our website if you want to link through, and that could be a holiday project. Alex Byrne, New South Wales State Librarian and Chief Executive.